listening to the Transformation Table podcast, where we talk about God's business.
Good morning, everyone. What a wonderful way to start the morning, just by thanking the Lord and praising Him with Don Moen. On Barsak Radio, Barsak TV, I see there's some people all over the world already tuned in this morning with us to sit around God's table, talking about our Father God's business. And what a blessing, what an honor, the Lord loves us so much. Our Father God loves us so much. I know my brother Menzo is on a hunting expedition, but it looks like he's got Wi-Fi, he's got fiber, or some way of data where he is, so we'll find out from him immediately. Where are you, my brother? And I'm very happy that you arrived safely, but I'm more happy for what's coming back with you. What is your plans? Where are you and what are you planning to take down for the pot?
Well, Rick, you know, what you plan and what you get is two different things. And like most things in life, it depends on how much effort you put in. So we are in Dwaalboom. It's in the Tobazimbi area on a very beautiful farm. The farmer, Marius, is a young man that is enthusiastic about what he does. A man that lives a life very close to God. And we're having a really, I got you a little bit late yesterday. It's one of those trips that you drive and pray with your eyes open because the roads weren't good and it was getting dark. But, it is, if I may quickly, Frick, there's things that we assume that's the way it should work. You know, I remember when we started hunting. Hunting was a time for me to spend time with my friends, do some hunting, get out in the bush, and drink a lot of alcohol to make it more fun. And then I learned how much more hunting can be the moment you go out in appreciation of the beauty of God's creation in a sober body. You know, and it's a whole amazing new experience. You know, it doesn't have to be like your dad taught you or how your friends taught you or how your, you know, I think that's a golden rule that we're discussing around the transformation table. There's better ways to do things. You know, we're learning how to do things better. And so yes, I'm in awe and in appreciation this morning for where I'm finding myself. So the goal would be to bring some biltong, or at least some meat that we can make some nice biltong. And you know, we were talking so nicely yesterday about the campfire weekends. So we hunt for most of the meat for the men's weekends, and then we give it to people that work know what to do with game meat. And we produce some you and Peter can be testament to this. Mm-hmm. And Mbeno, we then put forth extremely good food. You know, not only good in taste, but good in quality. I mean, if you've not had a campfire breakfast borsi, then you've not had a breakfast borsi yet. You know, everything else dwindles against that. Am I right, Peter? So yes, that's a plan for the next couple of days. Absolutely, thank you, Peter. So yes, again, everybody's invited. Come and join us around the campfire for a really nice time with the men. You know, that prayer that Atman said the other day that he prayed to God when he wanted to be saved was, "Make me a man again." And I'm not saying you're only a man when you go hunting. I'm talking about, you know, realizing your path, that it is important that you seek a better way and the truth. Mm-hmm. I think that's actually the essence of making you a man, the hunting for the truth and the meaning. and the living God.
That's true. Yeah, truth seeker. Yeah,
the truth seeker.
I love that.
A truth hunter. Like a truth hunter.
Yeah. The sons of the truth must hunt the truth. We must love the truth. Yes. We must be.
You must pursue it. Yeah. And especially in today's day, you know, I was thinking driving yesterday was a 4.5 hour trip. I had to, it was nice. I could drive by myself. You know, and you don't know much, and you enjoy having a trip where you drive long distance by yourself. And, you know, how elusive the truth is in the world that we live in. You know, it's almost hiding away these days. You know, and then, of course, having that awesome book that we can, that can show us the way, the manual
hunting
to
manual.
Show us the truth, the hunting manual. We're getting very naughty this morning. So yes, that's where I'm finding myself, Rick, and it's a blessing, absolutely. As you can see, I've got my cameras on already. We're going to go out just now. So I might, you know, when the guys start stirring around me, I might have to excuse myself here just after 7 o'clock. I asked them to give me a little bit of time this morning. So good times. So this morning, yes, thank you very much, Freek, for hosting us this morning again around the transformation table. And welcome to everybody that's listening in, watching in, clocking in. There's so many ways these days and in so many places. As you say, we're all over the world. And that is really awesome. I see Ken sent a message. I went to go and see him off at the airport on Monday. he had a long flight in front of him. You know, I think they had a layover in Heathrow of 7 hours and then all the way to Canada. So it's a, Henry will tell us, you know, the trip to New Zealand is more or less the same distance. It puts a punishment on your body, you know, that that flying. But yes, okay, let's kick off. Freek, is there something that you wanted to add, or can we get into it?
No, you can hunt, go for a hunt.
Thank you. Thank you. I wonder, Peter, can I ask you to open for us in prayer this morning, please?
Father, what a day. What a brilliant opportunity to be loved by you. And Lord, we just thank you for the truth that will unfold this morning. You tell us that we will find you when we seek you with all our heart. And we hunt after you this morning, Lord. We ask by your Holy Spirit that you would reveal truth to us, that you will show us deep and mighty things that we have not yet seen. All of this for your name's sake. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Lord, would you unlock Henry's thinking, give him clarity of thought, clarity of speech. And Father, we just thank you for those of our team that are not with us today, Ken and Sue. Lord, bless them in what they are doing. And Father, we just sit with an expectation of you laying hold of us this morning in a very special way. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Peter. You know, as I mentioned earlier, the hunt is for the best of the best. You know, and I believe with my whole heart that God wants us to have the best of the best. And this morning we've got the best of the best, bringing us the best of the best. So Henry, thank you very much for this journey that we've been through the past couple of weeks. Personally, I'm learning so much. And that it is certainly the best of the best. You know, I posted on the group this morning, on the Transformation Table group this morning, you know, that everybody's contribution is important. And that, you know, we sit around the table and sometimes I find the table a bit intimidating with the heavyweights around me. but also mostly very intimate. You know, and I think that's what I personally enjoy so much around this table. You know, it is a safe and good place where we can talk about, you know, deep and serious things. And I was thinking back about some of our discussions we had so far with Henry, and I realized that we could have possibly stepped on many, many toes in the process. But it doesn't matter, because everything, from what I could work out, was the truth. And the truth does not need any defense. The truth is the truth. You know, finish and klar. So, Henry, it's yours. Thank you very much. We're on our journey with the Holy Spirit. And sure, what an awesome journey so far. So thank you, Henry.
Thank you. No, I'm looking forward to it. I'm just amazed at some of the things that have been said already this morning, just comments here and there. That's actually right in line with what I've prepared for today, which is just so amazing. The searching, the seeking, the treasures, all of that was spoken of, and it's right in line with my message this morning. So I want to say we're continuing with a series on the Holy Spirit, the purpose of the Holy Spirit, and we'd already discussed the purpose is to reveal Jesus to the world through us. And we're continuing with that, and I'm going to look at a very specific area, and we look at John 14, verse 6, where Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." So when we're looking at Jesus, we find he's the way, the truth, and the life. And when we look at the scriptures about the Holy Spirit, where Jesus spoke about the Holy Spirit, he said that the Holy Spirit comes to lead us on the way. He leads us to the right way. He's the Spirit of truth, so he comes to guide us into all truth. And he is the living water, so he comes to give us life. Exactly what Jesus is, the Holy Spirit comes to give to us. And through us, to be the way, to be the truth, to be the life, and all of that pouring out through our lives, through the Holy Spirit who comes into us. We need to invite him in. Come in, O Lord. So that was John chapter 14, verse 6. If I read verse 16, Jesus said, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not know him or see him or know him. But you know him because he abides with you and will be in you." Now, of this section, Jesus said he's the way, the truth, and the life. I want to concentrate on the truth aspect tonight, this morning. Jesus is the truth, and he says here, the Spirit of truth. He comes as the Spirit of truth to bring truth, okay? Chapter 16, verse 13, Jesus says, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes," is again the Spirit of truth, "he will guide you into all truth." Now, that guiding in all truth is not just suddenly a dumping of a whole lot of truth. It's guiding so that we grow in our understanding of truth. He guides us along the way through our lives, and always he guides us to truth. So he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. So there's a future too. So it's today and tomorrow and in the future. He guides us into all truth. Now, as we consider this, I want to look at some of Jesus' parables, because it just opens some precious treasures to us. Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. Jesus says that the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field. Of course, when we speak about the truth, we're speaking about kingdom principles. And here it says the kingdom is like a treasure. You mentioned the treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid again, and from joy over it he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. This puts a value on that treasure. He's willing to sell everything that he has to buy the whole field, because in that field there's a treasure. There's some beautiful interpretations here, but the essence is we're willing to pay a price for that. Truth doesn't just suddenly get dumped over us. There's a seeking. Peter, you mentioned about seeking in your prayer, seeking and finding. The cost of seeking, there's effort going in involved in that, seeking the treasure, seeking what's valuable, and not just accepting the world's things. We seek, we want to know the truth. And as we seek, the Holy Spirit comes and he involves himself in that searching, and he starts to peel off the layers so that we can start seeing and understand things that we would never have known before. The Holy Spirit is the revealer of truth, but he reveals to those who seek. Okay, verse 45 is again a similar one. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls. And upon finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, there's a seeking and finding and paying the price to buy that pearl. Similar kind of message there. Then we go on to verse 51. So there's a whole set of parables that Jesus gives here. Then he speaks about the dragnet, and then verse 51, he says, "Have you understood all these things?" And they said to him, "Yes." And Jesus said to them, "Therefore, every scribe who has become a disciple of the kingdom of heaven is like the head of a household who brings out of his treasure things new and old." So here's a scribe who's been instructed in the things of the kingdom. He's a disciple. He wants to know more about the kingdom. He's not just there for religious duties. He wants to know more. And he goes and he brings out of his treasure things new and old. Now that to me, because it's speaking about a scribe, talks about the New and the Old Testament. And in the New and the Old Testament, there are hidden treasures. And you go and seek and seek and seek until you find them. There are precious treasures. And the Holy Spirit is just ready to reveal those treasures. But he's waiting for you to seek, for me to seek, and to desire. I want to know. Not just glibly reading over something, but I want to know, Lord, what does this mean? And then searching from this scripture, that scripture, finding all the scriptures on that, and so that we can get an understanding of the whole truth. So again, it speaks to me of a price to pay for truth, and I want to know that. I'm seeking for it, and the Holy Spirit comes and gets involved in that seeking. Okay, so that's now for an introduction. Let's start this teaching about the seeking, the treasures, and I'm going to Revelation chapter 2, the book of Revelation chapter 2. And as you know, chapter 2 and 3 of Revelation is seven messages that Jesus gives to John to send out to seven assemblies, seven different towns where there are groups of ecclesia. Meeting together, and it's a message to each of these towns. And I'm not going to go into all of those. All I'm wanting to do is to look at one of them. And verse 17, at the end of each one of these seven messages, you find these exact same words. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the ecclesia. He who has an ear to hear, have I got an ear to hear? Is my ear conditioned to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit? Because the Spirit is speaking. Here you see it clearly, seven times, the Holy Spirit is speaking, but have I got an ear to hear? Is my ear conditioned right? Now, verse 17, the message to Pergamum, He ends with the same thing. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the ecclesia. Then he says, to him who overcomes, there's an overcomer. As soon as you read the word overcomer, means there was a battle, isn't it? There was a battle, and you had to overcome that. To him, I will give some of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone and a new name written on the stone, which no one knows but he who receives it. I'm interested in the beginning of that. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna. The hidden manna. Now, manna is like bread. Remember, it was like bread from heaven. With the Israelites in the wilderness, they were fed for 40 years by this manna. Another place it speaks about the bread of angels. It was the precious bread by which the whole nation of some millions of people were fed every day. Every day in the morning, they went out, and there was the manna. And it speaks here about the hidden manna. There's hidden food, hidden treasures, which the overcomer finds, and he has something to eat, something to nourish him. So we want to look at this hidden manna. Okay, that's what we're looking at this morning. The Lord speaks about the Holy Spirit, about himself as the way, the truth, and the life. He is the truth. We're looking at the truth aspect. The truth is very often hidden. Not everybody understands the truth. But to him who overcomes, who's fought that battle, who's paid that price, there's a hidden manna that you can nourish yourself on every day. There's wonderful things. I wonder if we could ever exhaust the treasures of the word. There's just so much. And I love them. So we're speaking about the hidden manna. Let's go to back to Matthew. Matthew chapter 13 again. I want to look at another parable, which I didn't look at just now. Matthew chapter 13, and I'm going to read from verse 10. If you look at the beginning of that, he's speaking about the parable of the sower who went out to sow. The seed that's sown is the word, okay? And as he sows, the seed falls into different places. I'm not looking at the full parable, but you know the parable where the seed is sown, and some on the hard ground, some on the among the thorns and whatever. And then the end result of that, others fell on good soil and yielded a crop, some 100, some 60, some 30-fold. He who has ears, let him hear. So we hear that again. He who has ears, let him hear. He who has an ear to hear. And ask yourself, have I got an ear to hear? Is my ear conditioned to hear the truth? Okay. So when he's finished with that, verse 10 says, the disciples came and said to him, this Matthew 13, verse 10, why do you speak to them in parables? Interesting question. And the whole of Matthew 13 is filled with parables. Why do you speak to them in parables? Jesus answered them, to you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted. For whoever has, to him more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from them. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because while seeing they do not see, and while hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. In their case, the prophecy of Isaiah has been fulfilled, which says, you will keep on hearing, but will not understand. You will keep on seeing, but will not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull, and with their ears, they scarcely hear. And they've closed their eyes, otherwise they would see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and return, and I would heal them. So what he's saying here, basically, is though they have ears, they don't hear. Though they have eyes, they don't see. He's speaking of a hardened heart that just absolutely will not hear. We read then Revelation and early on, he who has ears, an ear that's conditioned to hear. I'm ready to hear and allow my life to be changed what I hear. We were reading last night in our Bible study. We did a Bible study in Van der Kloof last night, just about this hard heart. Maybe I should look at that scripture quickly before I carry on. Yeah, in the book of Ephesians. I wasn't prepared to give that this morning, but I just feel maybe I should. Ephesians, he speaks about this hard heart. Let's get it quickly. Ephesians chapter 3. Let me just find it. And I should have had it ready for you. But he's speaking about, let me just quote it here. He's speaking about the hardness of heart, that some have a hard heart and absolutely will not hear. He mentions there about the Holy Spirit. We must not grieve the Holy Spirit. And I said last night, when you look at the word grieve, what does it speak to you about? When you grieve, like there's been a death in the family, there's been some terrible tragedy that's happened, and it really is a painful thing that you've gone through. That grieve, I said, I feel like it's an arrow through your heart that's so painful of something that's happened. And when the Holy Spirit is grieved, it's something that we've done that's like an arrow through his heart. And he describes what that is, the grieving of the Holy Spirit. Jesus speaks about being grieved about the Pharisees, the hardness of the heart. When somebody has a hard heart, I just absolutely will not believe. Arrogance, it grieves the Holy Spirit. It's like an arrow through the heart of the Holy Spirit, and we don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. So there needs to be a heart that's humble and saying, Lord, maybe I don't understand this, but I want to learn more. Remember, Jesus said something quite harsh about eating his body and drinking his blood and so on. And many of the disciples left him and said, this is a harsh word. Then Jesus said to his disciples, would you also like to leave? And Peter said to him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. You know, so you don't always understand, because the things Jesus speaks about, deep treasures, deep, deep, deep treasures. So even though you don't understand, I don't always understand, yet we say, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and I'm seeking to understand. I want to know more. I want to have an ear to hear and a heart that's willing to say, I'll make it mine, I'll change my life accordingly. Holy Spirit, come into my life and bring about that change. Mold me like a potter molding that clay. It's got to give towards the molding. So, let's not grieve the Holy Spirit. We need to have an ear to hear these precious truths. Okay, so I'm going to carry on with Matthew chapter 13. We've read about these people who don't have an ear to hear. They will keep on hearing, but not understand. They will keep on seeing, but not see, but not perceive. Then verse 16, he said, but blessed are your eyes. He's speaking to his disciples. Blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is the one on whom the seed is sown by the word, by the road. So there's hard things to understand. But blessed are you who do see, you who do hear, you who do seek, because it will be revealed to you. And there's, towards the end of that parable, where there's good soil. And ask yourself, am I good soil? Am I soft soil? that the seed can go in and start to grow roots and start to grow. And is my heart good soil? My ear is good soil. Does it receive the word? Very important. It's very important. Now, Luke chapter 10, speaking about the same thing, also in the parables. Luke chapter 10, chapter 8, verse 10. It says here, let's get to them. Luke chapter 8, verse 10. Speaking about the same parable, verse 9 says, his disciples began questioning him as to what the parable meant. And he said, verse 10, to you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but to the rest it is in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. In other words, Jesus gave the parables for a very specific purpose, that some would see and others wouldn't. Isn't that interesting? Jesus taught in parables for the very specific reason that some would see and others would miss it. And that would distinguish a soft heart and a hard heart. Soft heart would see, receive, take in, make it their own. A hard heart would dismiss it as unimportant and just would let it go. So to you has been granted to know the mysteries. So I want to speak about this mysteries. It intrigues me, this mysteries. There are mysteries. There's treasures, new and old, in the new and old. There's mysteries, there's treasures. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. And chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul speaks here, verse 1. He says, let a man regard us in this manner as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. We are stewards of the mysteries of God. We've got to handle these things and teach these things. Precious, precious things. We have a responsibility to teach these mysteries. What a stewardship. Eh? Have you ever seen that scripture? What a stewardship. A stewardship of the mysteries of God. In other words, we've got to understand these mysteries. We've got to seek until we find and understand and then open the treasures up to people to see and to grow thereby. I'm a steward of that. I take that stewardship very seriously. In this case, moreover, it is required of stewards that one be found trustworthy. I hope I'm trustworthy of these precious treasures. Suddenly you realize it's not just something nice for you. Oh, that's a nice little thing. Suddenly the thing revealed to you, you become responsible for that, to pass it on to somebody else in such a way that they can understand it. Let's go to another place. 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14. Now, this speaks about the gifts of the Spirit. And I'm just going to take out of one of the gifts, the gift of tongues, which is quite often a problem for people. Folks, the mysteries of God are a problem for people who have hard hearts. But it's not a problem for somebody who says, I believe, even though I don't understand it, I want it. So chapter 14, verse 2 speaks of the gift of tongues. For one who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands, but in his spirit he speaks mysteries. Okay. So there's mysteries that are spoken in the gift of tongues. Mysteries that has to do with intercession. as we speak to the Lord, Romans chapter 8 speaks there about the Holy Spirit, again, the Holy Spirit helping us and through us speaking hidden mysteries, but speaking the perfect will of God as we pray. So we pray things that we don't understand, but we pray mysteries that are precious to God. And as we let the Holy Spirit speak through us, we are praying the perfect will of God, even though we don't know what it is. We are allowing ourselves to be taken to a realm that's beyond the human understanding and letting the Holy Spirit speak those mysteries as we intercede. And there's a huge depth just in that, that I could give a whole Bible study from Old and New Testament about these precious treasures of mysteries, that the Holy Spirit takes us beyond ourselves to be a powerful intercession in the world in which we live. Okay. 1 Peter. Let's go to 1 Peter. Chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Here is an absolutely precious little section. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 10. Says, as to the salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come to you made careful searches and inquiries, seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating as he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. So it says, you know, if you look through the prophets like Isaiah and so on, speaking about the suffering of Christ, that must have been strange to them. They waiting for a Messiah to come to release them or to save them from the enemies and be king over them, and yet they're speaking about the sufferings of Christ in their own language. They're prophesying about the suffering. Then the word having emanated from them through the power of the Holy Spirit, which they themselves did not understand, it says they made careful searches and inquiries. They chatted to one another. How is it that the Spirit of Christ is telling me about sufferings? We don't understand that. But they searched, they prayed for clarity. And verse 12 says it was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you in these things which now have been announced to you through those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. So all that was revealed to them as they searched and searched and searched was, this is not for you, not for your time. God did not reveal anymore. There's sometimes that God only reveals a part. You've got to be satisfied with that and still speak the mysteries of God, even though you don't understand it. Now look at this next part. Let me just do that verse again. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you in those things in which now have been announced to you through those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit. So it's by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. In other words, even to the angels it was mysteries. Isn't that precious? The angels didn't know. Folks, when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he prayed so that his sweat drops became like drops of blood, he was in terrible agony. An angel was sent to him to comfort him. And I wonder what the angel said to comfort him. Just something encouraged him that he was strong again. So just after that prayer, Jesus goes back to the disciples, and then the horde of soldiers come to arrest him. And Peter rips out his sword and cuts the servant of the high priest's ear off. And nearly, you can imagine the tense situation that could have been resulted in the death of all those people. And Jesus, in that terrible moment, takes authority and stops it in its tracks. It says, how would the scriptures be fulfilled? Do you not know, he says to Peter, do you not know that the Father has given, what's it, seven legions of angels, or six legions, I can't remember how many legions, but legions of angels, that's thousands of angels. What's a legion? 12,000? I don't know. Is around Jesus. All these legions of angels are around him. But how should the scripture be fulfilled? I've got to go through this. And the disciples don't understand. Jesus is speaking mysteries there. So the disciples go away, run away, depart from him, and Jesus is left. And then Jesus goes through the suffering. And I'm not going to go through all the details, but eventually he's beaten most terribly. And he's got his nails going through his hands into the cross, and most terrible. And you imagine all these legions of angels who do not understand what's going on. They don't know the full purpose of this. Around him, just ready to destroy the whole world for the darling of heaven. And they're watching. And all the demons are there encouraging the people, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. And imagine the, you know, in the Old Testament, it speaks about Hezekiah, King Hezekiah, when the Syrians came to attack Jerusalem, that God sent one angel, and he destroyed 185,000 of the enemy in one night. Imagine seven legions of angels could have destroyed the whole world. Eh? But as these angels are around Jesus, just waiting for a command of their commander, he just needed to speak one word and the whole world could have been destroyed. So much power he had in his word. But then the scripture says, as a lamb that is silent before its shearers, so he opened not his mouth. Just brings another power to those words. The angels are waiting for a command from their commander, and he says nothing, and they don't understand why. He goes through the cross, and it's only after the cross, with the resurrection, that that truth suddenly is opened up. His mysteries, and God specifically gave it as mysteries, because in another place it says, if the devil knew, he would never have crucified Jesus, because the crucifixion of Jesus and the resurrection again was the end of him. He wouldn't have done that. He thought he was like, I'm winning, I'm winning, I'm winning, I'm winning. Jesus at last has died. And then, oh, I made a terrible mistake. So there are mysteries. And God very specifically makes it to be mysteries. He tells parables and he wants us to seek. And sometimes he opens it and other times he leaves it so that we can go forward in faith without understanding. And that's okay. Sometimes you will not understand. He wants you to have faith. We have to walk a road of faith when we understand or we don't understand. We trust him. Still, we seek for an understanding of these mysteries. Okay, so that's 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10 to 12. Things into which angels long to look. Let's go on to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. He says, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. Long for the pure milk of the word. That's seeking. Lord, I really want to understand the scriptures. Don't just quickly read through, oh, I've read my little passage for the morning, get on with the day. But the searching, I'm longing for the pure milk of the Lord. The word, I want to understand, Lord. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians, chapter 1, And verse 25. Paul writes here, he says, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your calling, brethren, that there are not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble. I don't know what the Corinthians thought of that. Paul is belittling them. There's not many clever people among you. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things that are strong, and the base things of the world and the despised. God has chosen the things that are not, that he might nullify the things that are, that no man may boast before God. Now, the Afrikaans has got a nice word for chosen. It's called uitverkies. Specially chosen. Out of all that is there, he specially chose the weak things. And you can see an example of that right through scriptures. David was a little boy behind the sheep. He cho was chosen, uitverkies, to be the king of Israel, one of the greatest kings of Israel. And so we see many, Gideon and Jephthah and so on, the weak things, the despised. God has often chosen the despised to inherit the great treasures of his wisdom and mysteries, and through them to reveal, to preach those things, to be stewards of the mysteries, as we read a bit earlier. Chapter 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6. Paul writes, he says, yet we do speak wisdom among those who are mature. A wisdom, however, not of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are passing away, but we speak God's wisdom in a mystery. The hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory. So before the in Afrikaans it uses the word the grondlegging van die aarde, the foundations of the world was laid. God had already planned these mysteries. And plan that we, simple people, would be stewards of those mysteries. What an awesome privilege and responsibility. Verse 8 says, the wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood, for if they had understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But just as it is written, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. So there are things that God has prepared for us, precious, precious treasures for those who love him, not those who are arrogant, for those who love him. He's got precious treasures prepared for us. For to us, God revealed them through the Spirit. There's the Spirit of truth coming in. He's revealing treasures. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the Spirit of man, which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. In other words, it's not mysteries forever. He wants us to search for those mysteries through the Holy Spirit so that we might understand. He's specially given to us as mysteries so that we'll search and search and search and let the Holy Spirit reveal one thing after another after another. And it's his pleasure to open the treasure box. Say, here we are. Verse 13, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. But the natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. But he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. What an incredible treasure. God grants that we, in our simplicity, when we search, when we open our hearts, that we can have the mind of Christ. It boggles my mind. But yet, what a treasure. What a treasure. Folks, Psalm 42, you know Psalm 42, as a deer pants for water, so my soul longs after thee. And we have many such psalms, Psalm 63, many such treasures. Jeremiah speaks about this, that we search and search and we long for those treasures, and then he reveals it to us. Let's go to Colossians and chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, Colossians chapter 2, verse 1. Colossians 2, verse 1. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have on your behalf, and for those who are at Laodicea, and for all those who have not personally seen my face, that their hearts might be encouraged. He's got a longing for them, that their hearts might be encouraged, having been knit together in love and attaining to all the wealth that comes with the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery. That is Christ himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In Christ is hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And by the Holy Spirit, he draws out that treasure and reveals it to you and me. What a privilege. Let's go to Ephesians, chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him. So there's these blessings in the heavenly places. That's not immediately obvious to the world, because they don't understand spiritual things. But he's blessed us with those blessings. Verse 8, these things, the riches of his grace, which is lavished on us. What does the word lavished mean? It's like just an abundance poured out, isn't it? Would you say it's like that? He's lavished it on us. All these hidden precious things he's lavished on. He's pouring out like more than we could handle, lavished on us in all wisdom and insight. He made known to us the mysteries of his will, according to his kind intention, which he purposed in him with a view to administration. There's a whole lot of things there that we were predestined for. But he made known to us the mystery. In other words, the mystery is a mystery no longer. He wants to reveal the mysteries of his kingdom. And he does that through the Holy Spirit. And the more it's revealed, it's a mystery in Christ. We understand Christ more. We come closer to him. The Holy Spirit reveals the treasures that are in Christ. And that to me is just so precious. Verse 15, chapter 1. For this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus, which exists among you, and your love for the saints, do not cease giving thanks to you, for you, while making mention of you in my prayers. In other words, Paul is praying for these people, praying earnestly for them. Verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power towards us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead. So, he's praying that our eyes might be enlightened. He wants us to see. But he's not just going to throw his treasures, his pearls among the swine. You understand that? There's a scripture that says there, do not throw your pearls among the swine. You'll just trample it. He wants to give it to us, to those who really earnestly seek, really want. Chapter 3, verse 14. It's got two, three more scriptures. Chapter 3, verse 14. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father. He's praying again. From whom every family in heaven and earth derives its name. Verse 16, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend. Comprehend means to understand. With all the saints, what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge. So there's something which we know which surpasses knowledge. He's granting us the ability to know things which the world doesn't know and cannot comprehend. But he prays that we will comprehend it. The love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. I've said often, I don't understand that verse, that we could be filled up to all the fullness of God. But you can see the purposes of God here. That's incredible. What he's planned for us from the foundation of the world, he desires to share his full inheritance of his glory with us, that we might be filled up to all the fullness of God. Verse 20, now to him, in case you think that's not possible to be filled with all the fullness of God, that's not possible. Well, verse 20 sorts it out. To him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the ecclesia and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. So when we think what he's offering here is just beyond comprehension, he says he's able to do beyond what we think, what we ask or think. He's got hidden treasures that he wants us to know. And I've got two more scriptures. 1 Peter chapter 3. He's speaking here about women, godly women. And he says here to them, chapter 3, verse 3, says, let not your adornment be merely external and so on. Then he said, but let it be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. That gentle and quiet spirit is a receptor of all the treasures of God. The gentle and quiet spirit is the soft heart, the soft soil into which that seed can be sown and to grow. It's not hard ground. He's saying he's looking for that gentle and quiet spirit because he wants to reveal to us, he wants to plant these seeds in us, precious treasures. Now, closing with one last verse, 2 Chronicles, right back in the Old Testament, 2 Chronicles chapter 16. And it says there, the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his. Isn't that the lovely scripture? His eyes are moving to and fro. He's looking for people whose hearts are right, who has an ear to hear and eyes to see, because he longs to reveal hidden treasures, to lavish them upon us, that we might know and understand the purposes of God and become stewards of those treasures. May we be good stewards of the precious treasures. Seek for them, understand them, be good stewards of them. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Minri. What a message. I want to quickly tell you a parable as well. Last night, we quickly discussed what we're going to do this morning. What is the plan of action? And I said to Marius that I want to, there's an area of the farm that I've been walking since we started coming here. And I'm getting slowly to know it. And so I want to go and walk there. So he says, no, Menzo, you've been here a couple of times. You are welcome to go and walk by yourself. You know, you don't need to take the guide with you. And I'll be keeping in mind that the guides are also the eyes and ears of the farmers, that we do not do stupid things on their farm, you know. And I hear in my heart that we have reached a moment of trust. You know, he's prepared to trust me alone walking on his farm. You understand that, Menri, you've had a farm. You know, you don't allow anybody to walk around on your farm. And he says, and then he says, but you can take a guide if you want to. And I realize that if I go this morning and go and walk by myself, it will be magical. It will be beautiful. I can go and walk there by myself, but I'm not going to achieve my goal. I need the guide because my eyes are not set for the bush. You know, I don't see, Peter, if you can just turn a little bit to your right, to your left, you see the black rooibok behind Peter there. Now that is very, you can see that very clearly in the open, but take that black rooibok and move it 20 meters back and it disappears. You don't see that rooibok in the shade anymore. The normal rooibok on the right, the other side of Peter, that disappears in the veld, in the open. And that's the thing, you know, you're walking, Peter, I can see you know where I'm going to, you know, and you're walking in the veld and you just don't see that kudu. You can walk right by it and you don't see it, but I need the guide to go with me. He knows, he's been there, he lives here. You know, he smells like here. He can see that kudu clearly. Where I will walk right past it, and I'm going to not see it at all. And sometimes you don't see it until you just get that ear that moves, and boop, suddenly that kudu appears. You know, and I say to him, no, I need to go with the guide because otherwise I'm going to be completely unsuccessful. And your message this morning is exactly that. You can walk through life, it can be great. You can see beautiful things, but if you have a guide that knows where you are, that knows the hidden treasures, that knows that looks and smells like the area, you're going to have a fantastic time. You're going to see everything. Notice everything, and even hear beautiful stories. You know, the Holy Spirit needs to be your guide on this journey. Otherwise, you're going to miss out on so much beauty and so many awesome experiences, and of course, the big treasure at the end. So that's my parable on this one. You know, I just want to quickly add this piece. 2 years ago, we're quickly having a water and an orange in the veld. You know, behind the Land Cruiser, and we're standing as a couple of guys there, and a little dove comes in, flies over. I didn't notice it. The dove flew over us and landed in the tree next to us. And one of the young guys says to Marius, the farmer, I've not seen that dove on the farm before. And Mary says, yes, you know what? The sound that the wing makes, or the wind makes over the wing as it comes in from the landing into the tree, sounded different. And I think to myself, that's amazing. How do you hear the difference of the sound that the wind makes over the dove's wings coming in for a landing is different to the other doves, and say, I've not seen this dove here before? I mean, it's crazy. And I told the story to Peter, and Peter said to me, can you imagine? Can you imagine you can hear the Holy Spirit like that? You can hear the sound of the wind that his wings make. Yeah. Can you imagine that? And it caught me deeply. So, Umili, thank you very much for your teaching this morning, those treasures. Peter, you had your hand up.
You know, talking about that, there have been the odd times in my life where it's like I felt the breath of Jesus on my cheek. He was that close, and I could feel it. If you look at that picture of mine, it's easy to see the swartbok, but can you see the ostrich? You know, many people look at this picture, they can't see the ostrich behind the other buck. Jeremiah 33, verse 3. We all know it. The Lord says this, call to me, and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. And I mean word for word, call. Not just a casual request. The Lord doesn't answer casual requests. Here is a call, a buck calling its mate. A mother whose baby is caught in the river. There's a call, almost a desperation. And call to me and I will answer you. I will. But then it's that flick. You see nothing in nature until it moves. I mean, the same up on the border. You don't see anything until it moves. And unsearchable things that you do not know. But that means they already exist. You just can't see them. And in the Catholic Church, they have a ritual at Easter time. I'm not sure where it fits in anymore, but they bring out a big cross with a figure on it. So it's a crucifix. And the figure is covered in a purple cloth. And you can't see the body. So it speaks to us of Christ hidden in the tomb. But then in the ritual, they pray a bit and they take off, they open one of the hands and they take the cloth off. Then they pray some more and they take off the next hand. They pray some more, they take the feet off and on and on and on. And there's a gradual revelation of Christ, or of the figure on the cross. Okay? And this is the way the Lord explained this to me. Of when I got saved, how much of Christ came into me? All of him. And so, yeah, I'm walking with the whole of Christ in me. And it takes the Holy Spirit through my calling to gradually reveal something of Jesus to me. It's like that movie, The Invisible Man, where you can look in and you can see the inside of his body. And there's Jesus, the whole of Christ, inside my body. And slowly, the Holy Spirit reveals, bit by bit by bit, unsearchable things. The whole of Jesus is already in me. And that's what I'm trying to say, is we've got to get that. The whole of God, everything that God is and has, is ours. But we need this searching. Seek and you will find. Thanks, Vincent.
Thanks, Peter. Yes, I'm thinking of it as well. That I could have, in arrogance, said, no, I'll go and walk by myself. Yeah, because I've been hunting for 20, 30 years. But then I would have, and I'm equating the arrogance to the hardened heart that Tom Henry was talking about.
Yeah.
And I'm saying, I'm going to explain it, what I'm saying, being a wise ass. Now, I'm equating ass to donkey here, a clever donkey. You're going to lose out. You're going to miss out.
And the Holy Spirit is our guide. The Holy Spirit is our guide on this farm where the treasure is.
Absolutely, and it's gonna cost. Walking through that felt, you Sunday evenings when I get home, the legs are all torn up because we've been through the thorns. Your body is sore because you put in the effort. You are you bruised and battered, and tired. I mean, it takes I'm gonna go for a walk now, and it's gonna be a 3-4 hours on the foot, with a heavy rifle. You pay the price. There needs to be an effort from your side. I'm not talking about works. I'm talking about seeking intensely. Anthony, you had your hand up.
Good morning. I've got a few questions that I want to pose to the group and put on the table and ask explanation about the Holy Spirit. But give Fritz a chance, and I'm not sure what he wants to say, and then I can pose a few questions, and then I can. But I'm not really, and I want to emphasize that it's not really for my benefit. It's for the benefit of the people who are on the group, and a lot of questions that I've encountered before of people asking me things about the Holy Spirit. So you're welcome to. I don't know not what Fritz wants to say, and then I will pose a question.
Thank you, Anthony. Let's go for it.
Yeah, excuse morning. I just when Uncle Peter and everybody were talking, I was thinking of this. What I usually when I speak to some guys is, yeah, in Bredel, you can see from the airport. We're not far; we're about 10 km out, but you can always see the planes right rather far, and you can't actually hear it. And then one day I were like in the mornings walking out, and I were looking at this plane, and I said, yes. That's how God is for a lot of people. You know he's here. You know he's there. He's always there. But you can't hear him. You can't see him. But when you walk next to that plane, and you are very close to the plane, and then you say, whoa, the mess doesn't make sense. How does this thing get in the air? Nothing makes sense about this huge thing. If the motor starts, it rumbles in your heart, your whole body goes into a little bit of a fright if you stand next to that two monsters of motors, and the wingspan is massive. It's just blowing your mind, and it's so big. It doesn't. I don't know if you like Ethiopian Airways, that big buses. If you walk next to that thing, you can't believe it. And that's what I just say, trying to get to is, the closer you are to God, the bigger He is. The more you will smell Him, see Him, His almightiness will be mind blowing. The closer you are to Him, if you're not close to Him, you will see Him and say, "Yo, I know you're here. There you are. There far. I can't hear you, but I know you're there." God, I know you, yeah, but if you're close to Him, it's a total different experience.
Yeah. Just before Anthony comes in, a last word from me. The secret to knowing the treasures of God, Him telling you His secrets, is intimacy. Intimacy. Into me. you see. And then God says, okay, and then into me, you'll see. And so that's the thing, like your wife, she won't share those secrets with you until there's this trust relationship of intimacy, that what she shares with you, you are trustworthy. Her things are safe with you. Her name is safe with you. You've got her back. That relationship.
Thank you, Peter. I want to suggest that because I know Anthony is gonna challenge us like he normally does, and we're very, very grateful for that. I want to suggest that we, Anthony, that we hear your questions, and then maybe next week we can deal with it. You know, I just feel in my heart that the questions Anthony is going to ask is going to be not something that we should rush through. So maybe next week we can discuss them. So it will be good, Anthony, if you ask your questions, so that we can that we can prepare, if that's okay with everybody.
Ben, also at his head.
Thank you. Anthony, go for it, and then let's see if maybe it's easy. Maybe it's normally Anthony gets us. Going. So, you know, I think when we was just give it enough time. So go for it, Anthony, please.
So one of the big questions that I do get, what is the difference between the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost? Because the perception of what a ghost is a floating thing floating around down in the air. And a lot of people, especially children, ask me, what's the difference between the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost? Why is the Holy Spirit also referred to as the Holy Ghost? So that's the first question. The second question, can a person have an individual relationship with the Holy Spirit apart from having a relationship with Jesus and with the Father? A lot of people think, and their perception of the Holy Spirit is that he's just an inclination, an unction that you feel. So the question is, can you individually have a relationship with the Holy Spirit? One of the questions that I've also had and that I've posed now is, if the Holy Spirit is as powerful as the word says he is, why does he not influence or his power does not manifest in my life as the word says he's as powerful? Because a lot of times people go through a thing and they ask the Holy Spirit for help, and then the opposite happens, and then they lose their trust in the power of the Holy Spirit. So those are three questions. I've still got a few other questions, but I'll put them down on the table for now first.
Thank you, Anthony. I think one or two of those are easy to answer. The other ones are a whole discussion, more than a whole discussion. May I ask you, Anthony, just put that for us, you know, just type them out for us on the transformation table group. I think there's some serious stuff that needs to be discussed there. So absolutely. Thank you for those questions, Anthony. Mbino?
Thank you, Menzo. Today I'm very thankful for being present in this discussion. You know, what I'm used to is if I have an engineering or any other problem, I study the question, I read up about it until I understand it, and then I can solve the problem. And lately I've been frustrated in looking for the truths of God and not finding answers. And I realized this morning that I'm depending on my own strength and my own intelligence, not using the guide of the Holy Spirit to guide me to get to the answer. And for that, I'm thankful. Thank you, Henry, for bringing, and Peter, that message to me. And I pray to God to take away this frustration in not discouraging me to stop seeking, because that's what the Bible says. Keep on looking, keep on searching, keep on studying until you get the blessing of the answer. Because there's so many mysteries. There's so many treasures to be found, which I on myself, I can't find them. And I need the Holy Spirit to guide me to see them. Like Menzo said, to hear the difference in sound, to see things that my eye has not been trained to see. And I depend on the Holy Spirit to guide me to find that and to see it. Thank you, Menzo.
So that's beautiful, Vena. It is the endurance, yeah, that brings the revelation of the mysteries, the seeking. Yeah, and there's many things, Anthony. I can maybe just say this. There's many things that you don't understand that you do. me and my son now are working together now. And like those rooibokke behind Peter, you see it in the veld. The young rams, they play fighting, you know, when you're lucky to see that. And then once in a while, you'll see that ram is now getting a little bit bigger. He's a little bit tougher than the rest of the boys. And he goes and he looks for a fight with the dominant ram, yeah. And then sometimes one or two of them, both of them get hurt, or one of them get hurt for sure. You know, my son tries to challenge me, yeah. And I have a choice then, because I am the dominant ram. I have a choice. I can teach him a lesson. I can hurt him. I am stronger than him still, mentally. And I can hurt him and teach him a lesson, or I can hurt him and break him. I have to make the choice. Mm. Yeah. And the purpose of that, the choice I make, and say, you know, I can, because I mean, there's emotions involved. I can take him and turn him upside down, no problem. But I rather use the moment to teach him. The self-control, the self-constraint in that process leads to something else, a mystery that was only revealed to me last night. I was, you know, before we went to bed, I'm hunting with Niku and Aster and little Aster, three generations of a dad or opa in this case, that has had a long journey with serving God and the wisdom that comes with it. The reward that he's doing something that he absolutely loves with his grandson. That was not revealed to him when he chose to do the right thing. But it is the treasure, the something extremely special. And I said to him, Nico, what an awesome reward. He says, I didn't realize how awesome it would be. You know, those little things that you do, those little choices that you make, you know, that can exclude you or include you for a massive treasure. And we don't understand that when you do it. But you know, I mean, you've got some young rams in your house as well. Yeah. And I'm sure they challenge you. If they are for Mark, they're gonna go. The horns are gonna come and I mean, Fritz, even your son, I mean, he's still young, but I'm sure he's trying already.
They
It
must
is our
challenge
nature.
you.
We must challenge.
They must. They'd be dumb if they don't. There's something wrong with them if they don't test the boundaries. Because the boundaries are their safe place. That's the authority. That's their protection.
And it's the
But
endurance of doing the right thing
just
that
coming
brings the
on
reward.
what Benno said, the guide of the Holy Spirit. Now you can understand why the devil has tried to hide the Holy Spirit from people.
Counterfeit.
He's trying to hide him. That's why there is so much wrong teaching about him. He is Almighty God, the third person of the Trinity. He's not a feeling or a force be with you, it. No. He is Almighty God. He's everything that God is. And to me, the Holy Spirit is my primary relationship every day. Because Jesus is not here. He's at the right hand of the Father. The Father is in heaven, but the Holy Spirit is here now. God now, in the now, and fully God. So my relationship is with God, but in the form of the Holy Spirit, who is here now, leading me, guiding me. That's why the devil has tried to hide. The Holy Spirit is probably the most ignored person of the Trinity for this reason.
And I think that's the background of the question that Anthony asked. If the Holy Spirit is so powerful, why does he not intervene? And I think that is worth a proper discussion, because it is definitely a question a lot of people have. It's a complex answer, but it's actually a simple answer. And I think we should tackle that next week with your permission. Are you guys, I mean, are you okay with that?
Yeah, I think those are very significant questions, except the first one, Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost. The
Pneuma.
Greek is pneuma, and the Hebrews ruach is the same. The Old English would use ghost, and the more modern is spirit, but there's no difference.
Thank you.
It doesn't
Thank
need a
you.
discussion, that's simple. But the others
Yes.
are significant.
Ja, hy is nie 'n
Absolutely.
spook nie. Hy is nie 'n spook nie.
We heard yesterday morning the Muslims talk about our spooky God. I thought, hey, hey, no. But yes. Trek, is there something that you wanted to add?
No, I think that's enough for today. I think that's enough for today. I also have something on my heart, but it's going to take too long. Let's leave it for next week
Okay.
about the
Okay,
ghost.
let's make a proper discussion out of it. I think it's worth it. It is such a. I remember one thing. We sat in a meeting, and I forgot. Is it Oom Corrie that used to be in charge of Christcake for a while? What was that big gentleman? Fred, you involved there. I can't remember his name, but a big gentleman. And we were in the place we were sitting really close to each other. And he leaned over. He put his hand on my leg, which was already really in my space. And he said to me, and leaned into my face and said, "You know who is my best friend?" And he had me, because I didn't know. He said, "The Holy Spirit." And he pulled back. But he was, and it was so intimidating and intimate. Anthony, go for it.
Just to come back to that analogy that you used about the young ram challenging the old ram, when an orphan heart that ran will not challenge you, will snivel behind your back. Because the first thing that happens when you are damaged by older people, if like you said, if you can, you've got the option of teaching him or hurting him. And when you get hurt, you challenge the authority of the person that is supposed to be set above you. So I think a lot of people I found in my own life, you know, that was something that I struggled with. You know, I would not receive from that person because I was damaged, and then my heart is off, and so I wouldn't challenge you. I would stand behind your back and talk bad about you instead of having the trust, because without trust, you will not challenge. I think that's why your son is challenging you the whole time, because he's secure in you. I'm reminded of that, and this is like just a kind of a small little joke, but it's reminded of that old bull and the young bull that was standing on top of the hill, and they were looking down at the herd of cows, and the young bull was jumping up and down saying, I'm going to run down and I'm going to go grab me one of those cows. Then the old bull said, well, let's walk down and we can have the whole herd. So it's experience that counts, you know.
You know, that relationship, Fritz, if I may put you on the spot here. You know, when you're at the camp, and Fritz's son is with, and all the boys are playing there in the background. It's beautiful for me. You know, they playing in the sand and they're having a good time, and you know, sitting around the fire, the older men, and being serious, and the boys are playing, and Fritz just this Fritz, you have to do that whistle for us. Yeah, let's see if it works at home. So Fritz has got this whistle, and I've watched it. You know, the boys are playing, and Fritz will whistle, and it is like instantaneous. It is like this. Choop! His son picks up his head, and he comes running to his dad. You know, I wonder if we hear the Holy Spirit like that. Yeah, we hear his whistle, his special whistle, and we then react. Not, oh, maybe I misheard. It's, you know, there's not a shout. You're not screaming at him. It's just this. Fritz, doen ons hy whistle. Toe man, asseblief.
Ek dink my kinders slaap nog, dis vakansie.
Okay, ons gaan nie wakker maak nie.
Nee, ek is so 50 meter van hulle in my kantoor, so is die...
Maar as jy fluit, gaan jy die kind wakker maak.
Gaan hy kom. Fluit op ons, Sprit.
My deure is toe.
Okay. Net dit. That's it.
Yeah.
Net dit. Want hy laat die daar. I negotiate. He's not negotiating. He's not thinking. He's not. It's zoop. Yeah. His programming kicks in. That's awesome to see. Gentlemen, thank you very much for awesome. Yes, Peter, sorry.
Something very similar. The karate guy Bruce Lee. He would stand with his back to you. And if you went made to punch him, he would react because he felt the wind change. Now, he was always high on heroin. That's why he was so, his senses were so sensitized. But that particular example, he would sense the change in the wind as you moved your arm. Now, the wind on the dove, you know, can we get so sensitive to the Holy Spirit? You said you traveled alone for hours yesterday. You didn't. The Holy Spirit was in the car with you the whole time. Mm. Did you even speak one word to him? You know, excuse for the clap, but I mean, I clap myself often that way because... Yeah. It's so easy to ignore him because he doesn't force himself into your world.
Yes.
He's just too big for that. He doesn't have to. He doesn't talk loud. He doesn't need a claim to fame. You know? Yeah. May God
Absolutely.
help us to I think you used the expression the white noise. There's so much white noise that somehow in the noise we've got to zero in and have one ear on the world and one ear on the Holy Spirit. Something like that.
Absolutely. Gentlemen, thank you very much for an awesome meeting this morning. It's great. Thank you for Freek that this podcast could go out and add value to people's lives and do what the Holy Spirit intends it to do. We hope that this message is reached by who needs to hear it. I'm definitely one of them that needed to hear it, and Benno said the same thing. So thank you very much for this. And looking forward to next week's discussion. Anthony, please put those questions for us on the group so that we can give them the proper attention. Thank you very much.
Thanks for joining us at the Transformation Table. Until next time, keep growing. Keep walking in purpose and stay about God's business.